mean, I want to make sure it's perfect. And if anybody wants to volunteer for that first part, let us know. Too quick.
Yes, Christopher.
What's the first part? So the first part is, you remember last year we did like the play? Mm-hmm. We acted out the play. So this year we're going to have one person, three kids stand up. One is going to talk about the first year at camp, second year, third year. Just talk about, this was our theme, this was a verse we did, something fun we did. Just talk for like 1 or 2 minutes. And then the second, third year, Zach will get up and talk about, this is what we're going to do this year for camp and our theme. And then we're going to sing a song, which I just suggested in my Soldier of the Cross, but mm-hmm. we haven't really put that.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, we'll figure something out.
And maybe a verse. And then at the very end, you guys will get to call out something you saw that was really awesome at camp. Like a person's character quality or something they grew in. Or like it can be a counselor, a little kid, somebody else. It can even be a parent or something. Anybody that was there and participated that you thought really kind of exemplified something that we were supposed to learn at camp.
All right. There's Kaylee.
And Sam. Woohoo! I think we might need more chairs.
Nah. You have to pay for it. Just, you can sit
back. Oh my god.
Sit
here.
Yes. Honey, one more. Can you take that chair? Come on. Okay, so Angela's got us caught up on our next objective that we got to get ready for, which is our camp kickoff. Where should we put this?
We scoot it down.
Oh, you scoot it down?
Right,
you're
the closest.
Right now? We can do it at the end.
Probably have to put you. Yeah, we'll have to. Hey, Trey, scoot yonder. So, real quick, I want to touch base with you guys before we start singing. Listen up here. Listen up. This is important, guys. I want to touch base with you guys about two things from this past week. Number one, I always have an awesome time with you guys, like at our youth nights. We're just like, just fun hangouts. I think my most, like the most fun that I have is watching how you guys are developing, like as you're growing up. A lot of you, Maddie, you're like 10 years old when I came here. How old are you now?
She was not.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
3 years. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, that's a lot of math. Let me see. Six?
You were six?
Oh my gosh. So, Maddie was six. Man, Justin was, what are you, 12?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean,
had a lot more hair.
A lot more hair. Sorry, you weren't sick yet. Yeah. So, you have more hair. So, I mean, it's just like so cool. I think Lauren was still in diapers, so
I didn't know he meant
it's so much fun to watch you guys like grow and develop and your personalities come out. And I remember like some of you guys like just being like super timid like all your life, and now you're coming out more you know, just being a lot more sociable and things like that. And it's just like you guys are really developing your own little community and, you know, family and, like, identity with one another and stuff like that. So it's really cool to watch that and just to be a part of that spirit that's there. And I love coming to youth nights and enjoying that with you guys. But one thing I think we can definitely step up our game on, especially since you guys are really getting confident in just one another and starting to develop your own identity, is making sure when we have visitors that we incorporate them in that identity. The older you guys get, that's going to be a true test of, like, really your spirituality. You might not think it is, but it really is. You guys know, like, when babies are young, when kids are young, it's all about them. It's like, what can I get out of this? How can I have fun with this? How is this going to, you know, please me? But the older you get, the more you start to think about others. You know, well, how is this going to make so-and-so feel? You actually get more and more enjoyment from that. That's why your parents can give away all the gifts on Christmas and just be happy. I never understood that. I used to accept them and just go upstairs feeling like terrible. Like, how could they do that? And just not, you know, we couldn't get them anything, but they just love to see us get gifts. And it's kind of like that type of idea. When you see somebody else benefit and something well goes on with them, like, they get just as much enjoyment out of that. I say all that just to say this. I want to make sure that you guys take this opportunity to really develop yourself. And we have visitors, like we had at our last youth night. We had a host of visitors, a lot of new faces, a lot of new people. Our number one objective, our number one goal should be to make those guys have a greater time than we're having. All right? That's something we got to do. Because when it's all said and done, we've got each other, we've got the Bible, you know, we're in a good place of stability and stuff like that, but the people that are coming in and visiting, they're oftentimes not. And we have maybe one opportunity, one chance to get into their world and, you know, give them a piece of what's there and, you know, give them a taste of it so that hopefully they get an appetite for it and come back. So it's really like, I hate to use that word and that terminology, but it's almost like a sales pitch. Whenever someone comes into the church, you're taking the opportunity to sell what we have here to them. And it's a lot better than what the devil's trying to sell to them out there. And that's all that is. That's one of your greatest witnessing opportunities. Just a great, an awesome smile. Just walking up and saying, hey, you know, I'm just so glad to have you here. You know, how'd you hear about us and stuff like that? Really take that opportunity and that time to jump into those folks' lives. And, I mean, and that's what ought to happen. That ought to happen on you guys' level. These are kids your age coming. You know, we don't want creepers like the older guys, you know, like me, you know, going around getting to their face and, you know, hey, that's cool, you know, every now and then, but really, it should be coming from you guys. You guys are mature enough, you're socially whatever enough to handle all that stuff, so just go ahead and jump on that thing. Make that thing personal. Make it your own personal goal in ministry. The more and more you start coming to this church, like I said, it's going to be a test of your spiritual maturity. Are you coming down the stairs thinking, is Bob going to be able to entertain me? Is he going to be able to give me what I need? Is Zach going to be able to do this? Justin, Aaron, whoever. Are they going to be able to give me these things? Or are you coming to church thinking, okay, how am I going to be blessed with someone else? Whoever comes in there tonight is going to walk out better because I had an impact on their life. Right? So be thinking about those things as you guys come in. That's what it's all about. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look every man on the things of others, not on his own things. Right? So that's the whole principle that we're talking about incorporating here. And we just want to make sure that we keep that at the forefront of our minds. It's awesome to come together and have a great time with one another. But at the end of the day, we're still in a lost and dying world. You know, at the end of the day, we're still hanging out with people that are going to die and go to hell. And it's, you know, you guys just smiling and getting on their level. You don't have to even drop doctrine on them yet. I mean, it's not even that important. You're going to impress them just by, you know, a warm smile and a welcome and stuff like that. And then we'll get them into the door and work with them from there. The second thing, not so much on the spiritual side, but a lot more practical. From here on out, I want to run the youth nights like we do camp, in this sense. And we're going to really step this up in camp this year, too. But no more, like, outside technology, like, as far as, I'm not talking about electricity and stuff like that, but I mean, like, no cell phones, okay? That's the worst thing, you know, is when, you know, we should be hanging out. I mean, it's 3 or 4 hours, you know, just hanging out together. Let's just put all that stuff aside and, you know, open up the old way of social media, you know, face-to-face, you know, talking to one another and stuff like that. I think that it sets a bad example for visitors when they come. It gives them an easy out. You're already nervous and shy to be around people. That's just going to make it so easy for you to isolate yourself when you see other people, like, they're already here with their cell phones and stuff like that. And what if they came for the first time and they're like, their parents asked them, how was it? And they're like, oh, everybody was just on their cell phone, so I don't know what really went on. You know what I mean? So we got to set the standard on all these things. And I think you guys are at that point. Spiritually, you guys are maturing faster than any kids I've ever seen. So now let's just take this thing and really start to intertwine these practical things back into it. And make sure that those things aren't sneaking up on us and, you know, nipping us in the back. So you guys got that? Cell phones and stuff like that. We'll just keep those quiet and gone. We're at youth night. And secondly, and start practicing. Don't wait for the next youth night to do this. When you guys see new faces, kids on Sunday morning, if maybe you're too scared to do it by yourself, go grab a friend that you're really confident around. Go grab a friend that's really sociable and say, hey, you know what? This is going to take us out of our comfort zone, but you know what? This is our job. This is our ministry right here. They're coming to our church. This is your church. Stop looking at it as this is Bob's church or this is the leadership church. This is your church. If you choose to take a part of this ministry, it is yours. That's all this is. This is your church to do something with him. This is how God wants to use you here. So go ahead and do that. The only reason it hasn't happened yet is because no one has stepped up. There's no one's going to hinder you guys in doing that. And you're also going to be a great example to a lot of adults when you do that also. So step up and do that stuff. And I know you guys can. And I'm looking forward to doing that with you. And if you need me to come over, I'll help you guys do that stuff too. Aaron, Kelly, Angela, Jenny, all these guys. Just jump on it and grab them. But I know you guys can handle that stuff. Well, what?
Not just.
Not Justin. Yeah. Yeah, he's sick, guys. We don't want to bother him. No. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet and let's start to sing some songs.
We need a pastor hymnal.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot about the hymnals. So what were the songs we're gonna sing? What'd you say? Oh, you're laughing at me. Oh. All right, what number is that? What number is that? Huh? Thanks, man. 207.
I forgot it.
292? 207, 292. And what were you going to say, Sarah? All right. Think about it. 207. Oh, happy day. Here we go.
Oh, happy day that fits my choice for me, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill this house while to that sacred shrine.
Verse 3.
'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the Lord's.
On the chorus.
Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful Savior's rest. Nor ever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possess. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins.
On the chorus, one more time.
Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
All right, good singing, guys. 292, surely goodness and mercy. 292. Here we go.
A pilgrim was I in a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. leads me beside the still waters. He guides me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
One more time in that chorus.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Trey.
Oh,
that's a goodie. We haven't sung that in a while.
All right, my anchor holds. Here we go.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know while we've all the winds may blow, I have an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And behold, blow your wildest in, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep. Angry clouds will shade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock. And it holds, though your wildest in, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. None can fill the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast. And the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between. Through the storm I safely ride, till the turning of the tide.
Verse 4.
Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. And it holds. Though your wildest wind, O gale,
prayer. My prayer. We have met to worship. Brethren, we have met to worship. All right, here we go.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Soul. Hallelujah. Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me too.
All right, everybody, verse 4.
Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high, storms about me night o'ertakes me, He my pilot hears my cry. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with
All right, sing that chorus one more time.
Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me till the end.
Good job, guys. Trey, ask the Lord to help Aaron out as he brings our message tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us, and just let Aaron just touch all of our hearts, and just thank you for this day that you've given us, and just letting us all live another day, and just giving us able bodies to be able to do these things and have functional bodies. And just thank you for everything that you've done. In your son's precious name, amen.
Amen.
For having a baby so I can do this. But no, I am super excited. I think we're going to have a good time with the Bible tonight. I hope you're ready to lick your fingers, start turning, because I got a few places to go, okay? So tonight, what we're doing right now, right, is the 15 rules of studying your Bible, how to study the Bible, how to learn the Bible. Who wants to answer of why that's important? Why is that important?
Because it says study to show thyself.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
Maddie. It's important to know how to study your Bible.
Okay. The question is, why is that important? Why are what we're doing right now important?
No, what I need to know is what was what important. I didn't hear it.
Why is studying your Bible important? We're learning the 15 rules of Bible study. Kim.
So that whenever you go out to witness people, you have stuff to back up your like sources.
Okay.
How many ways to study the Bible?
Well, 15 rules. Yeah. That's right. Keep yourself in fellowship. All right, cool. All those things, good stuff. I mean, that's exactly right. We do this because not only does the Bible talk about being good stewards of what God's given us, right? Being faithful stewards in that. But we're also supposed to teach others what we've been taught and so that they can keep the line going, right? So turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10. No, this is number two. Sorry, this is number two. So Zach last time did context, right? Yeah. And he gave you seven contexts within the Bible. And so tonight we're going to be studying the three people groups written to in the Bible. All right? So basically what I'm going to be doing is adding on to what Zach did and so on and so forth. We keep doing all these lessons. And what you're going to find is that a lot of things, a lot of times to find this stuff, to find the context, is what you got to take three or four of those and group them all together to get that. So they all work together, right? And so 1 Corinthians 10:32, and this is how you know the Bible tells you that there's three people groups, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Okay, so you got the Jews, you got the Gentiles, okay? I'm going to write these up here. You got the Gentiles, you got the Jews, you got the church, sorry, I got to do this to make it flow. You got to make it flow. And the Jews, all right? So the three people groups, I hope everybody can see that. And what we're going to be doing is kind of taking a look at those, at all those, and kind of breaking them down in our Bible. Not only where a couple places, I'm going to show you a couple places where that where they speak directly to them, and then I'll kind of show you guys some cool stuff that God has shown me through Bible study and all that kind of stuff, okay? So, like I said, what we're going to be doing tonight is adding on what Zach does, what Zach did last time. And so the problem today is, and most of you guys know this, it's not anything new. People like in Christianity today like to take what is told to somebody directly and apply it to them directly. Does that make sense? So a lot of people like to take things in the Bible that was written to somebody else and then take it and have it and claim it for them. And you only see that in false teachings because when God writes something to somebody that is a spiritual conviction, they like to point fingers at somebody else. And that's what we all do, right? Bob keeps preaching on Sunday morning and something's like, oh, I know that guy. He really needs to hear that. I hope he does. I hope he's listening. But really, God wrote it to us. We need to look at ourselves first, not everybody else. So that's how you know human nature is human nature. Guys like to take things that aren't theirs and apply to them and then take what God tries to give them to change them and pass it on to somebody else. So, but that's not what we want to do. And so this kind of helps direct that. So what we're going to do tonight, I want you guys to start turning to Jeremiah 46. We're going to look at the Gentiles here. And it only happens a few times, a lot of time in the Old Testament. Does everybody know where Jeremiah is? Jeremiah 46. Jeremiah 46:1. Okay. 46? chapter 46, verse 1. Not Jeremiah 4, 6. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 1.
Yeah.
It's okay. You got to cut this message half. So, the word of it says, chapter 46, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates. And on down through here, basically God gave something to Jeremiah to tell to the Gentiles. And that's what how God basically directly said to the Gentiles. This is a picture of something in history with Nebuchadnezzar and coming in and basically about to just take over the nation of Israel, right? It's a doctrinally a picture of the second coming of Christ. This is how you kind of set up a context, what Zach was talking about last time. He's talking directly to the Gentiles, number one, in history, that were other nations around the nation of Israel. Number two, the other nations that are going to be in the tribulation with the Jews. Does that make sense? Okay. And most of you guys kind of know what the tribulation is and all that, so I really don't have to break it down too much, but that's what's happening here. So there's one. I'm just giving you guys a couple examples. So there's one. And then over here, turn over to Joel 3:9. Joel chapter 3, verse 9. That's before Amos and after Hosea. See, I have all these little tabs to help you. Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Okay. It says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares under swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. So, once again, this is a picture of the tribulation period. How do you know that, Aaron? What are you talking about, Aaron? Go to verse number 1 in chapter 3. This is what you call a context clue. What we talked about last time. Chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days, anytime you see those days in your Bible, that's the tribulation period. Okay? And later on, down in that chapter in verse 14, it says, multitude, multitude in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So, there you go. Lord talks to the Gentiles. He wants, in the tribulation, he wants all the Gentile nations to come around Israel. That's what has to happen. Israel is in a specific location, and what the devil does and what he does in our own lives is surround us. He likes to keep us surrounded, right? But we have the Lord, and so the Lord, if he holds the center, that's all he needs, is holding the center. We don't have to have the devil surrounded. We just got God. So, and we have the Bible. So that's a picture of the tribulation. So that's how God, just in a couple examples, talks to the Gentiles directly. And I'm wanting you guys to turn up. I told you you're going to be turning a lot. Get in one hand, Exodus 9. In one hand, get Exodus 9. In the other hand, get Romans 9. Exodus chapter 9, Romans chapter 9 as well. Alright, go to Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. And this is how you start to realize what God does. God always talks through the man. In the Old Testament, he's always going to talk through somebody. A prophet, Moses in this case, we're about to read, and all that kind of stuff. And this is how God directly talks to somebody in the Old Testament. He has to speak through somebody because God is a spirit. You can't just yell from heaven and thinking that, you know, it just can't happen. And so he has to have somebody down here to speak for him. That's kind of a picture of what we have to be, right? We have to speak for God down here right now. We have the words of God to tell us what to say. And so, but they didn't have the Bible in the Old Testament, so God had to directly tell them what to say. So in Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause I have raised thee up, to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." So that's him speaking through Moses. He's telling Moses to tell him, and now Moses is going to relay it, right? And somebody says, well, how does God directly tell somebody? It's not really directly, it's through a man. Turn to Romans 9. Romans 9, 17. We just read in verse 16 over in Exodus chapter 9 this very thing. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that all my name might be declared throughout all the earth." What did the beginning of that verse say? The scripture saith to Pharaoh? What is that? What? How does scripture say anything to Pharaoh? Oh, it's because it's the word of God. So even with God telling Moses and Moses relaying the exact message, that's basically God telling Pharaoh that. That's what Romans is saying here. So the scripture is associated with God. So that's one. Gentiles. Okay? I'm going to write those up here. I'm going to forget them. I don't want you guys thinking I'm preaching at you. Because okay. And I'm going to kind of briefly go over the church directly, because we all know that Paul is the apostle to the church, right? Apostle Paul and his epistles are written to the church. How do you know that, Aaron? How can you tell me that, Aaron? I don't know anything about the Bible, Aaron. Tell me. So let's go over to, 1 Corinthians 1. If you guys don't get a paper cut doing all these turns. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, under the church of God, which is at Corinth. Under the church of God. Almost all the writings to the churches in this book, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all of the beginning says, unto the church of. Unto the church of. So you know that's directly writing to the church. It's not rocket science. Okay? And so that, we apply it to us. We're a Christian, right? We are no longer them. We are never them. Well, some people are, but you guys aren't. Okay? And so, and then he writes to three Christians. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Those are to Christians. Those are to men of God. Those are to pastors and a steward and a servant, right? And all the things that we're supposed to be, right? And so those are to the church, New Testament church. So like I said, I'm not really going to go into too much detail because that's pretty apparent. And this is where people start to get messed up. Okay, like I said earlier, I just heard before this, coming in here, that Dejan is discipling Enoch. We all know who Enoch is, right? Enoch had a visitor a couple days ago, a guy from some church in Raytown, some non-denominational church. Enoch had invited him in for some reason. And this guy's getting them all messed up on Seventh-day Adventist stuff and basically teaching them all this heresy. And Enoch's like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, this guy's saying this. And obviously, Dejan shut it down pretty quick. But these are the types of things that people get into when they don't know this stuff, right? And this is why it starts to be important. This is why we need to know these things. So we had the Gentiles, the church, and now we're going to look at the Jews. So I'm just going to go to a real easy passage, Leviticus 1. Leviticus chapter 1. And in this passage, we're going to talk, it's talking about Moses giving the law to the nation of Israel. Leviticus chapter 1. Don't look at me. Chapter 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring an offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. Directly speaking, saying, go tell this to the nation of Israel. That's pretty apparent. Those are the types of things you just look for. Well, what about the New Testament, Aaron? What about the books in the New Testament? Turn to James 1. We're part of the New Testament, right?
That's right.
So we should take every book in the Bible in the New Testament, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. When I say those things, I mean, I'm being, what's that word? Facetious. I think that's what the word is. Being facetious. I don't really mean, yeah, that's a great word.
How do you spell it?
Anyway, James chapter 1. verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's writing to the Christians, right? Wait. To the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Greeting. To the 12 tribes. Is that you?
No,
it is not. So, you got Leviticus 1, speaking to the nation of Israel. James 1, speaking to the 12 tribes of Israel, scattered abroad. And so, those are pretty easy, right? Those are pretty straightforward. If you just realize that and somebody's pulling something out of James, then it's like, well, what are you doing there for, man? Unless it's practical, unless it's something that they're trying to encourage you in this life to do in your walk with Christ, but not doctrinal stuff like, well, you gotta have works to retain salvation. Why? Well, that's what James says. Well, that's not to me, so that's to the 12 tribes. You see how easy it is to just say 12 tribes. I don't really care. And so, let's go over to Matthew. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Don't call nobody a fool. You're going to go to hell. Right?
No.
Wrong.
Wrong.
But that's what it says, Aaron. I don't care, kid. It's not in my Bible. And those are the types of things that are written to this Matthew 5 through 7 is what they call the social gospels today. But really, it's the constitution of the millennium for the Jews in the millennium. Okay? Once again, directed to the Jews, not to Christians. Now, there are things, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to probably say this more and more the rest of the night. Anything in the Gospels that you want to use for doctrine always has to go through the Pauline epistles. I'm going to say it again. Anything that is written to the Jews directly, if you want to take that for doctrinal stuff, you have to run it through the Pauline epistles. If it doesn't line up with Paul, it's not right. If it doesn't line up with Paul, it's not right. So, but why is that? Why do we have to do that? Well, what were you before you got saved? What were you guys before you got saved? Anybody get an answer?
Unsaved.
Unsaved. Thank you. That was too simple of a question. Which one of these two were you guys before you got saved?
Gentiles.
Okay. But what you are now?
Church,
Christians, whatever.
Saved.
We're in Christ, right? We're in Christ. There is no Jew nor Gentile, nor bond, nor free. We're all one in Christ. So if somebody wants to try to take something directly to a Jew, and the Bible says that there are no Jews nor Gentiles in Christ, why are you taking something that's written to a Jew and trying to apply it to yourself? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But like I said, anything in these passages, like in Matthew 5, anything in the Gospels, you always run it through Paul. I'll give you an example. Just turn back to 5:8 here. And these sound really good if you just read them. It's like, oh, okay, wow. These are nice. 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How do you become pure in heart? Just being a good person. You say die. I guess you kind of have a point there. But right. Turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Like, Aaron, I'm a pure heart. How do you know that? Well, this is what the Bible says. Flee in chapter 2, verse 22. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you coming to God and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. I don't have anything. I need you to give me something so I can be saved. And right at that moment, you have a pure heart toward God at that moment, right? Because you're just basically opening up all the floodgates. But that's the only way you're ever going to really have a pure heart and see God is if you get saved in this life, in this age right now that we're living in. So that's kind of the stuff that I'm talking about. I'm going to go do another one. Matthew, or keep getting Galatians 2 in one hand, and then go to Matthew 10.
In Matthew 10?
Yeah. Galatians 2 in one hand and Matthew 10 in another. Zach likes to use a lot of Luke, and I use a lot of Matthew. So.
Galatians
2.
Uh-huh.
Galatians chapter 2 in one hand and Matthew 10 in the other. Matthew 10, verse 38 and 39. And we've been kind of talking about this verse right here. Chapter 10, verse 38 in Matthew. And he that taketh not his cross followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now that's what we call a paradox. Something that is basically opposite explaining the other opposite. It's really weird. You find that a lot with Christ. He's super confusing sometimes. But he's so profound in it as well. So basically he's saying, well, if I lose my life, how am I going to find it? I just lost it. And if I lose it, or if I find it, I'm going to lose it? That doesn't make any sense. Come over to Galatians 2, and this is what he's talking about. 2 verse 20. There's a doctrinal side to this and a practical, practical side to this. Spiritually, we're talking about crucified with Christ here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we died, our old man died, right? We have an outer man. We have the old man. He died. He's gone away. I don't really care about that guy right now at all. But the only way I'm going to live and find life is through Jesus Christ. And that's how you can say, he that findeth his life shall lose it. I found life. I lost my old life. But now I've lost that life, and now I have a new life. You see that? See how the correlation is? So that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. We have to run it back through the Pauline epistles. And so a lot of people like to take that stuff literally. Blessed are the poor in spirit, poor in heart, for they shall see the kingdom of God. So if you're just a nice person, you're going to see heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you got the UN claiming this and going around and trying to stop wars and all that kind of stuff, and they think that they're going to go to heaven because of that. But that's not what Paul says. See, they're trying to take something written to a Jew and apply it to them. See the difference? And so, but then sometimes people like to take this stuff and Christ will just make them look like a bunch of idiots. And this is what I'm saying about, go back to Matthew 5:22. We read this verse earlier. Making good time. And this, I've heard a guy say this, and that's why I kind of love this verse, because, and you're going to find this, when you start to kind of find this stuff out, guys, people are going to bring stuff up. It happens all the time. Once they figure out you're a Christian, and there are other Christians that don't believe what you believe, they'll try to pull something on you. And when you know your stuff, when you know your Bible, those are the moments that you're going to remember. Or if you don't know it. Sometimes, I mean, I was a young Christian when I saw this verse. And when this guy said this to me, it just sticks in my mind. It just stuck there. I'll probably remember the rest of my life. Because those are the times where God says, oh, now you can see where you're kind of lacking. Now go home and look it up. Go home and study. Go home and find this stuff out. Because I've given it to you. So I want you to be a good steward of it. So now that you realize it, now you get to go home and look it up. Man, that gets me excited. It gets me super pumped. Because I'm just like, sometimes, man, you're just going through life. And it's just like, life's bringing you down. And then maybe you're reading your Bible, but you feel like there's nothing there. Like, it's just like, nothing's happening. Like, why is that? Why is this not happening? And then finally, God gives you something like this. Somebody comes up to you and starts talking to you, and then it's like you're revived, man. It's like, woo! I get to go look for something in the Bible. This is great. So, verse 22, I'm going to read it again. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. That guy, I've heard a guy say, and then we talked about it afterwards, a guy came up to him, and he was like, what's up, fool? And he was like, oh, I'm, he was like, don't call anybody fool, or you'll be in, he said, you'll be in danger of hellfire. And I looked at him, and I was just like, what are you talking about, guy? And he showed me this verse, and I knew, I had already known that this wasn't to me, so I went and looked it up. And I pointed it to this guy afterwards, and he didn't want to take it, but whatever. That's just how it goes. So, thou fool. So he's saying, if you're going to say thou fool, and you're going to try to take this directly, you're going to be in fire, danger of hellfire. Wrong. Turn to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He just called somebody a fool. Jesus is going to hell. No. This is how you kind of just show that somebody doesn't know their Bible. Jesus just called somebody a fool. I showed that to him. He said, well, he didn't say thou fool. Okay. I mean, if you guys look at it, Paul said fool, called people fools. He's in Galatians right now in our prayer groups, right? He says, oh, foolish Galatians. And he says it a bunch of times, like a couple times in Corinthians. And then here's the kicker. And he said that to me, and I turned to this one. Go back to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said, now this is what God is saying here. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? God is going to hell. He prepared the hell for the devil and his angels, and he's going with them. See how stupid that is? And so, these are the things that people get wrapped up in because they don't know their Bible. They don't know why things have to be directed towards somebody and for them not to take them. The whole Bible is written for us. And we've heard Bob say it 1,000 times. The whole Bible is written for us, but it's not all the Bible is written to us. The old things in the Old Testament are for our learning. Romans 15 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10 says that it's for our example and our ensample, for us to learn from their mistakes so we don't make them now. But those type of things, people will get wrapped up in. And you got to show them this stuff because it's just like, no, man, that's not it. Have you ever seen this before? And it's like, maybe somebody will take it, maybe somebody won't. But those are the ones who take it. That's the ones that you know that you could maybe work with because they're teachable. They want to learn. They're not set in their ways like a 50-year-old man is. But so right now, I got some time. I'm going to run through some exercises here. So all we've covered tonight, I'm going to act like somebody's going to pull something on you. So I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read it just like somebody would read it to you, just quoting it without a Bible around, okay? And tell me if this is you. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that works. By works a man is justified, not by faith only. So see, you have to have works and faith. You have to work for to keep your salvation. Is that you? No? That was in James. What did we learn about James? For the Jews. For the Jews. James chapter 1, verse 1. Yes. To the 12 tribes scattered abroad. That's the kind of stuff. Now, practically, we could take that. What do I mean by practically? And we're going to learn about, and that's one of the rules later on down the road. Practically meaning that how is somebody going to know our faith without us doing something with it, right? Our faith is a perfect faith. We've been justified. We have righteousness at the time of salvation. But how is somebody going to know our faith? How are we going to show our faith if we just sit on our butts, right? So that's the kind of stuff we can take practically and admonish us by, okay, man, I need to do something. I need to get out there and witness. I need to take what I've been learning and take the zeal that I have and put it towards the ministry because I just want to do that for God. And that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. And so I'm not going to read the next one because it's everybody kind of knows that one. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you which one I'm going to do. Okay, this one. This one's a kicker. Okay? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of worlds to come, that they shall fall away. Now, I'm going to go back here. For it is impossible for those, so all the people that, all the things that I just listed, a person has retained, right? Once enlightened. That's your Holy Spirit, being enlightened. Getting the power of God in, right? For it is impossible for those, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It's impossible to get salvation back if you lose it. Is that you? No. No. Anybody want to tell me what that book's that from?
No, you don't want to tell them, or maybe you don't know.
What? Exodus? No. No. It's in Hebrews. Are we a Hebrew?
No.
No. That's Hebrews 6. Okay? So people like to take that and say you can lose your salvation, is what I'm getting at. They take things that were written to a Jew directly and basically taking it over to the church age and saying that you have to do good works, you have to do what I do because I'm the best Christian in the world. I never lose my salvation. Be a great man. If Abraham, tell that to Abraham. He had to sin one time and he lost it. One time. He took a piece of fruit and he bit into it and he lost it. Because God told him not to. How are you going to tell me that you can lose your salvation? Because you took something from what was written to a Jew and turned it into something in the church. That's what happened. So this is why I asked you guys at the beginning, why is this important? Why is this stuff important? Not only for yourselves so you don't get mixed up and you start to have sound doctrine, you start to get good things in your life, right? But when some people try to pull that stuff on you, you're still like, well, where's that from? Oh, that's from James. You're about as far in left field as you can get, man. Look at James 1:1. And see, these are the things that are really good. And I hope that I kind of helped you guys. Maybe I kind of showed you guys some stuff that God showed me. We're right at 8:30, so I'm going to pray us out and we'll be done. Okay. Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We just thank you for eternal security. We thank you for your Bible. We thank you for the systematic way it goes together. We thank you for this church that just stands on your word. This church that believes the Bible, wants to learn the Bible. Doesn't matter if we believe something and we find out it's wrong. We change it and we move on. And it's all for your honor and your glory. For all the things that you've given us. That's why we do it. We do it because you've done something in our lives and now we have the chance to do something in somebody else's life. So I pray that we can just take this stuff, really use it next time we're reading, next time we're studying. We take in mind of these two great rules that we've already learned about context and about the three people groups that are written into the Bible. But Lord, always just remember our walk and always remember our fellowship in it all. I ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Don't even sit.
Yeah, all right, guys. Real slow now. First rule, what was it? Context. So why is context important? None of people are whispering. Say it again.
Not everything's meant for you.
Not everything's meant for you. What was it? Yeah, yeah. Determine who's it been saying to. And that's cool when Aaron just went over, because now we learned that you have to ask who it's been saying to. Then you show the people that the Bible will be talking to. Okay? So really good stuff that these guys are going to be laying out. So stay on top of it. Keep this thing running. We'll try to get some consolidated over here on the board for you pretty soon. Like, just a good full list. Angela's knocking that stuff out. So you guys will be able to just go ahead and take that thing and just have like a little index in your Bible of what all that stuff is. So good stuff. Thanks so much, Aaron.
I'm not sure. Who's next? I think Maddie's up next.
Oh. Don't forget to volunteer if you want to do a